you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Keep your money local. Bring it home to a Wintrust Community Bank, home of Cubs checking with free ATMs nationwide. Find out more at Wintrust.com/Cubs. Member FDIC.
Welcome into the Cubs Talk podcast presented by Wintrust, joined by David Kaplan and Doug Glanville. Fellas, lots to discuss as the trade deadline quickly approaches, but we're going to start with probably the number one thing on Cubs fans' minds, and that is Yu Darvish. Now, before we get to this interesting audio from Sunday Night Baseball, I want you to answer one quick question, guys. Does Yu Darvish pitch again for the Cubs this season? Doug?
Yes.
Cap?
Yes.
All right, so we've heard it here first. Yu Darvish will be pitching again for the Cubs this season. But when you hear what A-Rod has to say on Sunday Night Baseball, you might be a little more concerned. Play that audio, guys.
And it's been a very sobering year with the debacle of the start of Yu Darvish, who's been devastating. I mean, a guy to start a six-year contract with three of the worst months you can ever see. I mean, I know he threw a 10-pitch bullpen, then a 16-pitch bullpen, and then he said his arm was hurting. It's gotten so bad around. Now, they won't say this publicly, but it's gotten so bad they let him basically police and take control of his own rehab, which is scary because they don't want to create anything that he can kind of push back against. So he'll let the team know when he's ready, which, let me just tell you what that means to a clubhouse. You lose respect quickly. And my concern for him, because he's a great young talent, is it may take two or three or four years. You may never get that back. So this is an issue that if you're Cubs Nation, you have to watch the Yu Darvish development because it's not good inside that clubhouse right now. The problem is, and I'm pretty passionate about this, because when you have 25 players coming to the stadium, you're there to do one thing, and that's win a ball game. You want all the energy, all the focus, all the analytics, all the stretching. What are we going to do today to win a ball game? And when you have a guy that signs an enormous contract and he's sitting down and you walk in the training room and he's got two trainers working on him, you go into the video room and you have a guy looking at video, you should be in Arizona somewhere getting treated, but don't get in the way of 25 players going after one mission, that's win a ball game.
Lots to unpack there, Doug Glanville. What do you think of what A-Rod had to say about the Darvish situation?
All right, deep breath here. Look, first of all, I've been on rehab. I understand that it's a very isolating feeling. And the fact is, when you are hurt and you can't contribute and you want to contribute and you're trying to work out and get yourself back together, it is helpful to be in a social environment with your teammates, because most players have been through this. And, yeah, you can feel a little bit out of place because you want to do more. I remember Sean Dunstan having a big meeting in the locker room in Chicago, Wrigley, talking about Kevin Tappany when he got hurt. And he said, hey, Tap, don't you feel like, you know, an alien in here? You feel like you're from another planet and you're just trying to fit in? He said, yeah, it's a tough feeling. But at the same time, you know, you are part of the team. And just because you're now the 26th guy or 27th or 30th guy because of injury or whatever, doesn't mean your teammates, don't embrace you. I mean, that's part of the family of baseball, that you still can contribute. You're still part of it. And, in fact, you gain encouragement because I'm sure you go through the lineup. I mean, Chris Bryant is going through it, you know, right now. And, you know, he'll do his work and so on. But it's also known that he's, you know, a big part of this team. So, but there's so much to unpack there. I mean, you know, just discussing the idea of, you know, someone being hurt. I know when I was hurt, you go through this. The criticism comes because people will question you. They will question you whether you're actually hurt, how hurt you are. Is it heart? Is it soul? What, you know, what is really going on? There's a lot that can be very speculative that you don't know. There was a scout that literally came down when I was in Texas in 03 and literally told me in advance, because he knew I was I was not going to have it. And he said to me, he's like, look, I'm going to be honest. I came down here to get on you because people are thinking that you're dragging and you're not really working as hard as you should to get ready. And I just want to, I'm going to be transparent and just let you know that's what I want to know. So, you know, where does that stuff come from? Well, you know, part of it is, yeah, people want you on the field. They're paying you a lot of money. But, you know, if you're not healthy, you're not healthy. And, you know, you can speculate why all day long. But, you know, the danger is if your team, you know, buys into so much speculation, then they start to question a lot of things. Darvish has gone through a lot of just communication issues, which I still go back to saying that's one of the primary issues, the communication issues that he had with Chris Jimenez, trying to translate for him some and trying to understand it. And first he was silent, and then the more he spoke, the more confusion. So I think a lot of this fundamentally is just communication, not necessarily something nefarious or something of a lack of desire or all these other things that can kind of spring from it.
Well, see, the other thing is, and Doug, we're not in that clubhouse on a day-to-day basis when the media is not allowed in there, but you've got a number of different guys from Tim Kirkchin, accomplished journalist, Rick Sutcliffe, who works for the Chicago Cubs, A-Rod, who does Sunday Night Baseball and has had the Cubs a bunch of times, all saying that this is starting to become an issue in the clubhouse. Whether it is or it isn't, they've got to have a team meeting, and this has to get hashed out, doesn't it?
Right. Well, absolutely. I mean, this is part of what happens. I mean, there's always conversation, and I'm sure the journalism, like Tim Kirchner, very respected. I worked with him for many years. So I'm sure there's plenty of things that these conversations or these conclusions, I should say, are based on. But the next step is, you know, is it actually woven into the fabric? That's where the speculation separates from reality. And finding out, okay, like you said, have a meeting, get it out there. I mean, I remember having a meeting back when I was playing with the Phillies, and Scott Rolen had not signed, and there was all this speculation about did he get offered, did he not get offered this big deal, he wanted to stay, who did he like, did he like the manager, all these different things. And then eventually all these quotes were leaked out, supposedly, in the newspaper, kind of ripping Rolen, and he was just like, well, you know, and then we had to have a meeting and just like air it out, like, wait, who's saying these anonymous quotes, who are these people? And it got, you know, to the point where we were trying to find out who the sources were. So that stuff can really become toxic, and you have to establish what's truth from fiction, what is just speculation, what is just a couple people just saying things off the cuff that may not actually be what's happening, all these different things. That is where a team comes together, and the Cubs now, because of all this, you know, now swirling around, have to really come together and find out, you know, make sure everybody's on the same page.
You both said that you believe Darvish will pitch again this season for the Cubs. Why? Cap, why do you think he's going to pitch?
First of all, I think he is starting to work his way back. I do believe, after hearing Cole Hamels on Waddle and Sylvie say, look, this guy was my teammate for a few years. He is the ultimate competitor. Well, if that's true, if he's truly a competitor, unless you're telling me he has a major injury that will preclude him from coming back, I think that he's working his way back, and I do see him taking the ball in late August, early September.
I don't, you know, look, I'm not making a medical assessment here. There's still, you know, questions exactly how you define what's happening. I mean, there's, it's not like you'd sink your teeth into it and say, oh, Tommy John or something like he had in the past.
Right.
So that makes it tricky, and that's why the speculation starts to brew, because it's like, well, what is it exactly? And you know, trying to explain it even sounds like, I don't know exactly, we're trying to define it. But in the end, I see him just working, and signs have said, you know, they expect to progress, and they're not going to rush it. And you have August, and he maybe contributes some big, you know, starts or at least innings in September. But, you know, it has to unfold, and rehabs are very difficult. It can go backwards. But the last thing you need as a player and as a team to take something that already is a little bit unpredictable, and that is your ability to get healthy off of an injury, and just fill in those voids with, you know, dissension and frustration, which are already part of when you get hurt and your effort to get back. I mean, this is not rocket science when you're trying to figure out how rehabs can really make things frustrated, or a guy who's very productive or supposed to be productive isn't on the field. That's kind of a, you know, that's an easy grab. You know, it's then it's up to the team now to take that and sort of rewrite that storyline, because once again, he's not the first person ever to be injured or who's supposed to be a big-time productive player who struggled. He's not the first. And the Cubs weathered that in 2016 and other years. So this just has to get back onto that train for the team to be really united as they need.
Today, for the very first time, I'll have to admit, I got nervous from hearing all these different reports. I actually thought for a second in my head that Darvish may not pitch the rest of the season, but you guys have me back on board, so I'm feeling better about that. But let's switch to the trade deadline real quick. Ken Rosenthal tweeted, as of 4 o'clock today, the Cubs haven't done anything, but it said the long shot that cannot be dismissed until after the deadline passes. Cubs getting controllable starting pitching could build a deal around Hap, earner the young hitter, obstacles, scarcity in the market, et cetera, et cetera. What, if anything, Cap, do you think the Cubs do before the deadline elapses?
I think that they will kick the tires on Chris Archer, Jacob DeGrom, people like that, that they feel like they would have control going forward, that have a chance to be high-level impact starting pitching going forward. And in the end, I think they acquire another reliever, and that's it.
And are you comfortable with where the roster's at, theoretically speaking, if everyone's healthy?
If everyone's healthy, there's more than enough talent to win a World Series. Kyle Hendricks pitches like he did last night in St. Louis. If Brandon Morrow comes back and closes like he did earlier in the year when he was healthy, if John Lester keeps pitching, if Yu Darvish comes back, if Jose Quintana can be the Ferrari Wilson Contreras says he is, there's more than enough talent to win a championship.
Doug?
You got to look at this time of the trade deadline and the market as it's time for scalpers. Okay, this is what you got. You got to look at it like there's someone out there that has this $100 ticket to a concert that may be willing to sell it for $20 because, you know, you're pushing up on the deadline. You're going to have to deal with waivers and all these other things. And, you know, you might get a deal. So just like Cap said, you know, maybe someone you can sneak through. You don't like Archer, as he mentioned. If not, I kind of like the idea of always arms in the bullpen, especially when you have an expanded roster in September. Then you can sort of have that extra piece in there to give people some rest. You could also, you know, you have to deal with Morrow's issue and sort of getting that closer. He's been, you know, on the shelf a couple of times this year. And so those are, I see, the primary issues. I think Bryant will get back in there and other guys that will solidify that offense. I'm pretty confident in the offense. It's certainly shown it can be explosive. It's just solidifying the rotation. And Hendricks had an encouraging start against the Cardinals there.
One more left turn with the lefty. John Lester on Twitter this morning says, if you're on Twitter, please spend 5 minutes it takes to scrub your account of anything you wouldn't want to be plastered next to your face on the front page of a newspaper. Better yet, don't say stupid things in the first place. Too many young guys getting burned. Hashtag the more you know. He went on to say, too many guys getting burned. Some guy responded, too many guys getting burned, ? Suggests the heat is coming off from others looking to pounce. Actually, they set themselves on fire. You're right. Should have worded that differently. So we have Lester tweeting about people checking on their Twitter accounts and then him responding back to fans who are questioning what he had to say. Do you like what Lester had to say in a nutshell and also the fact that people were discussing it with him in the aftermath?
I mean, look, I know that social media is a double-edged sword. I mean, it can be, or, you know, it has its pluses, it has its minuses, and it's just how you use it. It can be a powerful tool. As a young player coming up in the Cubs, we had, you know, we had psychologists, we had media trainers, we had people trying to help us understand the responsibility of being in the major leagues. And now what you have is a sort of a retroactivity, right? That's the thing. Like, so if I went to spring training with the Cubs when I was 20, 21 years old, or, you know, by the time I got there, there's things I could have done when I was 17 that could still blow up in my face. And so the statute of limitations is no longer. This stuff stays with you. And by the way, Major League Baseball, this is not a shock because any employer will tell you that it's fair game. People get fired or let go or not even hired in the first place because of what they put out there on Facebook and all this other stuff. So baseball is just sort of catching up to what the world has been dealing with in the employment world for a while. Now, with Lester, yeah, I mean, I you know, support what he's saying. I think he's just trying to say, look, you know, you have to think twice. Any parent, like, you know, I have kids. It's like you're like, you know, heart attack. You're worried about the things they can do in this vast world of the social media world. So that's absolutely true. And the question now is going to become what baseball does with it. These are not just sort of casual things you can blow off the comments that are now being raised. When you talk about race and identity and religion and different, you know, orientation, all these things, that's where the rubber meets the road. And baseball now has a huge responsibility to sort of deal with it. And it's going to be, you hope that it can turn into a learning point, but there's going to be pushback and just people saying, hey, the guy was 16, the guy was 17, and this is not going to be universally agreed upon. So there's a lot of work that's going to have to be done off of this.
The amazing thing is, Doug, and you touched on this as well, you know, people are saying, and I hear this from the Trey Turner camp, the Josh Hader camp, it's come out in other sports. Boy, somebody did a deep dive and tried, really had it in for this guy. No, actually, he wrote racist and homophobic tweets, and now he's getting caught for it. So I guess what we're learning is social media, as you said, could be a double-edged sword. Use it to promote your foundation. Use it to do some good things. And if I was advising an athlete, I'd say, other than that, stay the hell off Twitter.
Yeah, well, and it's like you said, it's like I'm trying to – think about, okay, you know, 17, 16, 19, and I don't give people a hall pass because of their age. It's just what you cannot determine with these players is, was that just sort of off the cuff? Were they quoting something? Were they just trying to be funny? Were they trying to, you know, is this like a deep-rooted, you know, it's hard to assess. And here's the thing about baseball or sports that I look through an optimistic lens is that when you have, and I wrote about this a while back in the New York Times for opening day, like, when you have an opportunity to be exposed to people of all different walks of life, which is what happens in Major League Baseball, all over the world, all different walks, all different parts of the country, different ideologies, and you actually have repeat experiences over the intimate setting over years, it will change you. You will just realize that, okay, wait a minute, this guy works hard, and I don't really pay attention. He's from the Dominican. He's from where, you know, this guy's a hard worker. He has my back. I mean, look at the Hall of Fame induction speeches. How many times did players cite people of different backgrounds, different races, of different countries, and saying that they inspired them? They changed their lives. They were, you know, you heard Chipper Jones talk about Don Baylor and all. So, you know what? When you get exposure and you see what actually rises to the top in character and what matters, it will transcend these. And I think these players that are in the crosshairs may be having that experience, and you hope they are, because now they're surrounded by a diverse environment where it's about the work and it's about being a team. And that's where I'm optimistic and how baseball, I think, can take this to something to be more positive, but it remains to be seen how they're going to handle it.
Yu Darvish, the deadline, and John Lester's Twitter advice. Another great edition of the Cubs Talk podcast presented by Wintrust. David Kaplan, Doug Glanville, I'm John Graff. Thank you guys for listening.